pinasimula natin ang series na ito last February, I was really not anticipating to go beyond the month of February dahil sinabi nila yun ang love month, kaya love for sufferers ang aking naisip na maging serye. And at that time, I only thought that it will be lasting only for that month, and did not anticipate na hanggang ngayon na ito pa rin ang ating pag-aaralan. But probably it is indicative of the good discussions we have been having. Maganda yung ating mga naging discussion, siguro magandang ang ituloy. At iba't iba pa namang mga uri ng suffering ang makikita natin at natunghayan. And for this morning, we go to yet another issue, one that has been quite tragic and a dark period in human history, and that is slavery. For a long period in history, slavery was an accepted arrangement in society. Sa iba't ibang paraan, siguro yung mga lipunan noon at may iba pa na hanggang ngayon was arranged on three strata. So, andyan yung royalty, and then the free, and then the slaves. So, yung iba't ibang yan ay may kanya-kanya ring strata within each stratum. But that was how society was arranged. Ang pagkakaayos ng lipunan ay merong mga royalty, yung mga nagaharing uri, and then merong mga free, yung mga malaya, and then may mga alipin. So siguro kahit yung mga nag-aral sa inyo ng Philippine history nung panahon ng pre-Spanish, ay meron tayong ding mga uri ng mga alipin, di ba? Aliping namamahay, aliping sa gigilid. Pero may ganyan din sa iba't ibang lipunan na mismong mga slaves, may mga magkakaiba-ibang uri din. So that was how society was arranged for a long period of history. And in many societies, yung pagkakaayos ng kanilang lipunan, siyempre ang issue rito ay who becomes slaves. Now for some societies, slaves were decided on the basis of race. Kumbaga, racial, kung anong lahi mo, may mga lahi na talagang parang sa kanila ay magiging mga alipin. At sa mahabang panahon yan, ay inangkin ng maraming mga taga-kanluranin, Europe and America, that the race that was meant to be a slave race was the black people, the Africans. So, ganyan ang nangyari. Ang ginagawa nila noon ay nangangalakal sila, pumupunta sila sa Africa, at sila'y kumukuha ng mga itim doon. Kumbaga, kung paano kang kukuha ng mga baka, mga hayop, at iyong ilagay sa barko, at basta't pakainin mo sila roon, ay ganun na rin ang ginagawa nila sa mga African people. They took them, and of course many of them were taken away from their families, away from their communities, away from the life that they, the only life that they knew, and then sold as slaves in Europe, South America, and North America. Of course, alam ko na ang pinaka naging focus nito ay sa America, USA, yung naging issue ng slavery, which in a way is very historically unfair, for the reason that, in fact, only a small percentage of African people were sold in the USA. Much larger percentage was in Europe, and in fact, much larger was in South America. Ang pinakamalaki ay sa Brazil. Pero hindi yung nakikita ng marami. Ang nakikita lamang ay ang ginawa ng Amerika sa mga Africans. And in a way, it is historically unfair, but that's the way history goes. So sa iba, yung kanilang pag-decide kung sino ang slave is on the basis of race. You are slaves by reason of race. And then other societies base slavery on social or religious class. So sa Hinduism ng India, andiyan yung kanilang caste system. At so may mga mabababang uri hanggang sa pinakamababang uri na tinatawag na untouchable. But the point again is these are matters which were decided racially or socially or otherwise. Now, alam ko ang katanungan ng marami ay, eh, hindi ba pastor, sa Biblia merong slavery? Oh, how do you account for that? Na merong slavery sa Biblia? Hindi ba't ini-endorse ang slavery sa Biblia? we have to differentiate two things. Kailangan pag-ibahin natin yung what is mandated and what is regulated. Pag sinabi nating mandated ay iniutos at katalagang iniayos ba ng Diyos mismo na ang lipunan ng tao ay may mga alipin? At ang sagot ko riyan ay hindi. And there are clear scriptures that show that na walang ginawa ang Diyos para maging alipin. Pero dahil sa kasalanan ng tao, nagkaroon ng pagkakaayos-ayos na yung iba'y nagharing uri at yung iba'y naalipin. At dahil meron ng mga alipin, nagbigay ng mga regulasyon. So in other words, because of what already existed in society, and in order for there to be some relief to those who are oppressed, eh ganun ang ginawa na merong mga regulations in the Mosaic Law on slaves and the way slavery is to be conducted because it was an existing fact of sinful society. Kumbaga, makasalanan ng lipunan, ganun ang nangyari sa mga tao, at nung dumating yung mga batas ni Moises, binigyan ng regulasyon, hindi upang sabihin na ito'y mandated, hindi ito mando ng Diyos, kundi binigyan ng regulasyon upang mapagaang sa mga alipin. Hindi para sabihing tama na magkaroon ng maging mga alipin. So slavery in biblical societies, in fact, if you compare this to the slavery that existed in the ancient world, ang makikita ng mga dalubhasa ay there was none of the inhuman form that it became. In many of the ancient societies, the inhuman form that it became in history. Yung slavery sa scripture, sa Israel rather, was based on social offenses. Halimbawa, hindi makabayad ng utang, pwedeng yung hindi makabayad ay maging slave. Which in a way, mas welcome kesa makulong siya. Halimbawa, ikaw ay hindi makabayad ng utang at ang sabihin sa iyo ng pinagkakautangan mo ay magtrabaho ka na lang sa bukid ko. Kung hindi, papakulong kita. Siguro, kahit sino sa atin, magtatrabaho na lang ako sa bukid mo ng dalawang buwan o isang taon na walang sweldo para pambayad sa aking utang. In a way, slavery became a penalty for social infractions in Israel. It was not because of race, tandaan natin to, walang tribe sa Israel na slave tribe. Walang race sa Israel na slave race. People became slaves because of unpaid debts or because of becoming prisoners of war. Sila ay nahuli o nabihag sa isang digmaan, kaysa patayin or kung anong pahirap ang gawin, maaari silang gawing alipin. So, maaaring katumbas lamang yan ng ating mga prisoners ngayon na merong social infraction, merong crime, at sila ay ikukulong. At kasama sa ibang mga sentensya kasama sa kulong ay hard labor. Diba? Pag may hard labor, nagtatrabaho ka para sa lipunan na in a way, parang slave, but pinagbabayaran mo kasi yung naging krimen sa lipunan. Now, I'm saying that the slavery in Israel society was like that. Walang dahil sa pagkapamilya mo o dahil sa pagkalahi mo, ay alipin ka na agad. Walang ganun sa Israel. And in fact, yung mga regulasyon sa slavery ay very human. At a certain point, slaves were freed. Di ba? After every sabbatical year, pinapalaya ang mga alipin. Walang ganyan. Walang katumbas na ganyan ang mga ibang lipunan. Kapag alipin ka na. Hindi lang ikaw, pati anak mo at mga susunod mong salinlahi, alipin na kayo. Walang ganyan sa Israel, kundi maging alipin ka man dahil sa pagkakasala, dahil sa infraction. Ngunit pagkaraan ng 7 taon, there was the sabbatical year when slaves were set free. At kung hindi pa, sa loob ng isang henerasyon, every 50 years, yung tinatawag na jubilee, meron ding enforced freedom. At bukod pa riyan, binibigyan ng kalayaan yung alipin kasi dumarating ang panahon na naging maganda yung relasyon niya sa kanyang amo, sa kanyang Panginoon, the slave was given freedom at a time that he was to be set free kung gusto niyang magpatuloy pa rin na maglingkod sa kanyang pinaglilingkuran. Can you imagine that? There was nothing like that. Again, in ancient societies, slaves were not treated as having a choice of their own. In fact, si Aristotle mismo, yung ancient philosopher ng Greece, sinulat niya sa kanyang Ethics, siya yung isa sa mga pinakaunang nagsulat ng Ethics. Ang sabi niya sa mga slaves ay, slaves are tools. They are human tools, just as tools are inhuman slaves. So, pinag-compare niya yung slave are human tools, tools are inhuman slaves. So, in other words, slaves are just tools. Ganyan ang pananaw ng mga, even the best of Greek philosophy, they had such a low view of slaves. Nothing like that at all in Israel. Nothing like that in the Mosaic Law. Nothing like that in Biblical Law. Kaya wag nating sisihin yung Biblia na parang nagmando ng slavery. It wasn't like that at all. And it wasn't surprising, therefore, that those who became the leading activists against slavery later in history had Christian motivation. They were either Christians or were moved by Christian motivation. Ay, hindi ko gagamitin ngayon yung mga talagang leading activists dahil napag-aralan na natin sila in the past. I have dealt with William Wilberforce. Kung meron mang isang tao na talagang pinaka naging kasangkapan sa emancipation of slaves, that will be William Wilberforce. No doubt about that. Even history records that. Si William Wilberforce ay Member of Parliament ng England at ito yung kanyang tinrabaho ng gusto sa kanyang panunungkulan. He served for more than 20 years at ito yung kanyang pinakakampanya na nagkaroon ng katuparan. I think 1807 na nalagdaan yung batas na ipagbawal na ang slave trade. And in fact, I visited England in 2007 and they were celebrating the second bicentennial of the Slave Trade Act na pinatigil yung slave trade. At malaking pangalan si William Wilberforce, I remember when visiting then, and William Wilberforce was a Christian. Kasama niya sa active campaign na yan, ang mga katulad ni John Newton. Now, John Newton will ring a bell to us dahil marami siyang hymns. Our favorite would be Amazing Grace. And the reason why John Newton spoke so much of grace is because he was a former slave trader. Isa siya dun sa mga nangangalakal na mga alipin. At kung basahin niyo yung kanyang autobiography, may nirelate siya roon na pinarusahan niyang isang African doon sa barko bilang isang captain at talagang pinahirapan niya ang gamit ng mga latigo, etc. Pero ito yung naging kasangkapan din na surutin yung kanyang budhi ng conviction kung anong tratong ginawa niya doon sa tao na yon. So, from then on, hindi niya nalimutan yun and he always thanked God for His grace. Even on his epitaph, kanyang kinonfess doon na dati siyang slave trader. Hindi nawala sa kanya yung conviction of being such an evil slave trader and he saw the evil of it. Kaya nung siya naging Christian, naging minister, naging pastor at mangangaral, naging aktibo rin siyang kasama ni William Wilberforce sa gawain ng pagpapalaya sa mga alipin. So, I have dealt with John Newton, I have dealt with William Wilberforce. I would rather deal with lesser known individuals who were Christians and by their Christian conviction, nagpaka-aktibo sila na labanan itong slavery during their time. Let me just emphasize na the reason why slavery has no place to us as a mandated arrangement in society is for the simple reason ng creation. Sino mang mga tao, royalty man yan, free or slaves, lahat ay lalang ng Diyos. Because they are created by God, all human creatures therefore have essential equality because of the same origin in God. Yan sabi ng Proverbs 22 verse 2, the rich and the poor have this in common. God or the Lord is the maker of them all. Yan yung inawit natin na parents or native place and time, lahat ay appointed sa atin ng Panginoon. Pareho tayo nag-originate sa likha ng Panginoon, kaya anuman ang yung lahi, mas maputi ka man kaysa sa akin, hindi naman ako pwedeng alipin mo. It's not decided by color, race, or anything. So, yan yung bagay sa Kristiyano. Yan ang paniniwala ng Kristiyano na nagbubunsod sa kanya na salungatin ang kaisipang may mga natural na alipin. And because of that, we have people, hindi tayo maubusan ng mga tao sa kasaysayan na nakipagbaka laban sa pagkaalipin. And I want to cite two this morning. The first is a woman, Harriet Beecher Stowe. Born on June 14, 1811 in Litchfield, Connecticut. Si Harriet ay galing sa isang pamilya ng mga pastor. Ang kanyang tatay, Lyman Beecher, was one of the more famous preachers of the 19th century. And then yung dalawa niyang kapatid ay mga pastor din, tatlo niyang kapatid pala, mga pastor din, Henry Ward, Charles Beecher, and Edward Beecher, all were ministers. So she came from a family of ministers, family of Christian believers, and isa sa mga bagay na nangyari sa pamilyang ito ay na-impluensya sila ng isang active abolitionist. Ang tawag sa mga lumalaban noon sa slavery ay abolitionist. They were for abolition of slavery. Now, one such abolitionist was a newspaper publisher and writer, Elijah Lovejoy. And Elijah Lovejoy suffered martyrdom in the hands of a mob dahil kilala siya sa kanyang mga panulat na abolitionist, marami sa lipunan noon ang may mga slaves ang medyo natatapakan yung kanilang interest. And because of that, tiningnan nila itong si Elijah Lovejoy na kalaban, and in 1837, a mob assaulted him that resulted in his death. At itong pagkamatay niya ay nagkaroon ng malaking impact dito sa Beecher family. 2 years before his death, Elijah Lovejoy wrote in his newspaper these words, and it is in your handout. Sabi niya, "I shall come out openly, fearlessly, and as I hope in such a manner as becomes a servant of Jesus Christ when defending his cause." So you can see the Christian motivation behind dun sa kanyang zeal, yung kanyang sigasig na labanan, yung kalupitan sa mga alipin at tanggalin na yung slavery sa lipunan ay moved by a Christian commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So makikita natin yan na dahil dito nagkaroon ng malaking influence dito sa Beecher family and to Harriet herself. Harriet received a traditionally male education in a seminary run by her family. So nag-aral siya sa seminary, siguro expert siya sa theology. In 1836, she married Calvin Stowe, who was a seminary professor doon sa kanilang seminary, and also an anti-slavery advocate. So ngayon, mag-asawa na sila. Hindi na lang siya basta nakikipaglaban. But still, Harriet was able to have her own direction as far as calling, vocation, and at the same time, yung kanyang pakikipaglaban sa slavery were concerned. When Congress, that is the U.S. Congress, passed in 1850 the anti-fugitive law prohibiting assistance to fugitives, meaning yung fugitives, yung mga alipin na tumakas sa kanilang mga amo, and they are considered fugitives, and in those days, such fugitives could be, kung merong standing shoot to kill order kung kailangan. Now, matatandaan nyo, isang kasong ganyan sa scripture was the case of who? Onesimus. And Onesimus escaped from his master Philemon, and then Onesimus, by providence, na-encounter niya itong si Paul, na-convert siya. At ngayon, isinasauli ni Paul kay Onesimus, kay Philemon, at yung pamanhik ni Paul kay Philemon became a classic. Sinabi niya, "Receive him no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, more than as a slave, but a brother, a dear brother." So, unheard of yan. yung idea na a slave is your brother. That would be saying my chair is my brother. Dahil nga ang slave ay tool lamang. Eh, pero sa Christian view, because you are in Christ, then you are a brother in Christ. Well, in the time of the slavery in the United States, nagkakaroon din ng mga fugitives, naglagbas ng batas ang Congress 1850 na fugitive law, meaning you cannot assist slaves who escape their masters. Harriet put her objections on paper. So magaling siya magsulat. Isinulat niya yung kanyang objection dyan sa fugitive law. In other words, here was a woman who would not take things sitting down. Kapag meron siyang nakikitang mali, ay isinulat niya. But the greatest influence of Harriet Beecher Stowe, without any doubt, is her novel written in 1851, Uncle Tom's Cabin. Kung wala pa kayo nito, you should have one in your library. Very moving novel. And in fact, it was considered the best-selling novel of the 19th century. So panahon ito na walang internet, walang nothing of the kind that we have, and it was the best-selling novel of that century. So this was Uncle Tom's Cabin. This proved to be a powerful influence in the cause of the anti-slavery movement. And imagine that when Harriet wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, she was then 41 years old, a mother of seven. And sabi sa kanyang biography ay she would spend time with her children. Kaya wag natin isipin na para magawa niya ito ay napabayaan niya yung kanyang pamilya. Hindi po. She would spend hours with her children, teaching them, meditating with them, praying for them. So it's not a case of a mother who has forsaken her family just to be able to write. As she was doing this, she was a faithful woman sa kanyang tahanan. Now, ang summary ng Uncle Tom's Cabin ay andyan sa inyong handout. This is a review. Uncle Tom's Cabin is dominated by a single theme, the evil and immorality of slavery. While Stowe weaves other sub-themes throughout her text, such as the moral authority of motherhood and the redeeming possibilities offered by Christianity, she emphasizes the connections between this and the horrors of slavery. Stowe pushed home her theme of the immorality of slavery on almost every page of the novel, sometimes even changing the story's voice so she could give a homily, that is a sermon, on the destructive nature of slavery. So the novel is about, the main character niya was Uncle Tom, who was a long-suffering black slave around whom stories of other characters. So nandito yung slaves, slave owners. Kumbaga tinitingnan ni Stowe from the perspective ng slaves at ganun din ng slave owners. Pinapakita niya rito that slave owners may be of the type na talagang callous, cruel. And then there are those who were parental or paternal towards their slaves. And then yung guilt na nasa kanila, hidden in their conscience. Now, what wag natin kalimutan dito ay yung Christian message, the Christian motivation in this novel. This is where Uncle Tom becomes the picture of a Christian slave. He refuses revenge, only clinging to the promises of Christ up to his death. Now, I have two passages from the Uncle Tom's Cabin. Nandiyan sa inyong handout. The first, ay nagkaroon ng exchange dito yung mga slaves. Ay reproduced as is. So, pati na yung kanilang spelling. And I don't know how I can pronounce them, but I'll try. Pray for them that spitefully use you. The good book says Tom. Pray for them, said Aunt Chloe. Lord, it's too tough. I can pray for them. "It's nature, Chloe, and nature strong," said Tom. "But the Lord's grace is stronger besides. You ought to think what an awful state a poor creature's soul in that do them are things. You ought to thank God that you aren't like them, Chloe. I'm sure I'd rather be sold 10,000 times over than to have all that our poor creatures got to answer for." You see how he's looking at things from eternity and the little suffering they are now going through, he's looking at from the perspective of eternity. Here is another. Ito yung exchange niya sa kanyang cruel master, who was David Legree. And here, "How would you like to be tied to a tree and have a slow fire lit up around you?" asked Legree. "Wouldn't that be pleasant, eh, Tom?" "Master," said Tom, "I know you can do dreadful things, but..." He stretched himself upwards and clasped his hands. "But after you've killed the body, there ain't no more you can do. And oh, there's all eternity to come after that." Again, it's sometimes inconceivable and it's hard to portray what slaves had to go through. And yet here was one. And from the perspective ni Stowe, binigyan niya ng Christian motivation how he could endure such suffering is again from the perspective of eternity. Yan yung sinasabi ko kanina sa mensaheng tingnan natin sa pananaw ng pangwalang hanggan. In fact, Uncle Tom's cabin played a major role which led to the Civil War when Abraham Lincoln, the President of the United States that had oversight of the Civil War, finally met Harriet Beecher Stowe. It was said that Lincoln said, "Here is the little woman who started this big war." See, in other words, he recognized yung malaking influence nitong novel that lit up itong maraming alab ng mga tao noon laban sa slavery. Well, the Civil War lasted from 1861 to 1865. Nagkaroon ng temporary division. Alam nyo bang nagkaroon ng dalawang presidents ang America during the Civil War? You have the Union and of course the Confederate. But ultimately, the Union won. And the end result was the emancipation of the slaves in 1865. Well, sadly, the story ended with Lincoln being assassinated because of that stand. But let's not forget the influence, one of the major influences in the Civil War was this novel, Uncle Tom's Cabin. Harriet Beecher Stowe died on July 1st, 1896, at age 85 in Hartford, Connecticut. Now, let's go to someone earlier even than Harriet Stowe, that's Samuel Davis. He was born to Baptist parents in Delaware, South Dakota, received tutelage from a Presbyterian, and then was ordained a Presbyterian in 1747. He became a pastor in Hanover, Virginia. People of his contemporary period said he was a powerful preacher. He promoted the reform cause in his area, but at the same time that he was preaching and he promoted reform theology, he did not forget his civil responsibility. He advocated religious and civil liberty and in fact cited the English Act of Toleration. At this point, America was under England. So, kinamit niya yung English Act of Toleration of 1689. Alam niyo, beneficiary tayo niyan. Meron na tayong Confession of Faith ng 1677, pero tago. Nung nakaroon ng English Act of Toleration, kilala natin ngayon yung ating Baptist Confession of Faith as 1689. Baptist Confession of Faith, when in fact it was already existing in 1677. Pero yung English Act of Toleration ang ginamit ngayon ni Samuel Davis legally to advance the cause of civil liberty in America. In fact, his ministry in Virginia pioneered the literacy of the colonist slave population. He believed that they were equally deserving of direct access to the Word of God. So, yung punto na yan ay very striking nung panahon na yon. Alam niyo, hanggang even now, although not so much, but even now, in America, there are still black churches, white churches. Kumbaga, yung segregation noon ay nagpatuloy ngayon, bagamat theoretically, and of course by law, wala nang ganyang segregation, pero nagtuloy yung mga henerasyon. Eh, kung meron yan ngayon, imagine then. Noon talagang hindi pwede. But Samuel Davis insisted that black people can sit in his church, listen to the word of God, and if they are converted, they can be baptized. And in fact, he baptized more than 100 na slaves under his ministry. And this was an unheard of thing. Pero again, the Christian motive behind it that moved Samuel Davis to preach the gospel to the slaves and baptize them when they were converted. So as I've said, under his ministry, Samuel Davis baptized, well, over 1,000 African-American slaves. In 1759, when Jonathan Edwards died 6 weeks into his presidency of New Jersey College, which is now Princeton University, Samuel Davis was elected by the board to replace him. And so Samuel Davis became president of the New Jersey College, which he served until he died in 1761. So both as a preacher and as a scholar, Samuel Davis served the cause of the gospel and of civil liberty. In one of his addresses to the student body and the faculty of the Princeton College, class of 1760, itong sinabi niya, and since then, this has been echoed by the presidents of Princeton University throughout its history. Whatever be your place, imbibe and cherish a public spirit. Serve your generation. And that has become a motto of Princeton University. So you have here two stories, two Christians, and like I have said, moved by Christian belief and conviction, they did not stand back while the cruelty of slavery was ongoing around them. They did something. One was a mother of seven. Probably sabihin natin na hindi siya expected, but she did anyway. One was a preacher and a college president at that. Pwede natin sabihin, he's already doing something noble, not expected. But both of them did something for those society thought nothing more of than just tools. They thought of them as humans. And as humans, they deserve compassion. Where did they learn this? They learned this from the Lord Jesus himself. Because it was Jesus who said, Mark 10:45, I did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, nung panahon na yon, may iba't ibang uri din ng slaves sa Roman society. You have the diakonos, the doulos. The lowest was the doulos. And Jesus used both words to describe his ministry. He was both diakonos, doulos. And when he stooped in John 13 to wash the disciples' feet, it was the act of a doulos, the act of a low slave. And Jesus assumed that act. From then on, maaari natin sabihin, nagbigay siya ng dignidad maging sa konsepto ng paglilingkod, sa konsepto ng pagkaalipin. And I believe, therefore, that compassion on the part of Christians now is seeing the humanity of those who are treated as inhuman. Slaves were not treated as human at all. Christians saw them as human, and so must we. So maaring may equivalent ng slaves ngayon. Sabihin natin wala ng slaves. Well, actually, in Sudan, slavery is still legal. And in other states of Africa, meron pa rin ganyan. And in other places, though there may be no legal slavery, meron pa rin treatment of slavery, at kinakailangan tayo maging sensitive sa mga ganun. Compassion means reaching out with human heart to those who are treated as inhuman in society. Any question? Any clarification you want to make?
ko masasagot yung tanong niyo, Pastor. I have a different question. Nung time ni Harriet was emancipating slaves, just an advocacy of Christians, o may mga non-Christians then who were advocating emancipation? And may mga Christians din ba, Pastor, na who did not want the slaves to be freed? And could the book be addressed to them, yung Uncle Tom Caban's book ni Harriet? Could that speak stronger dun sa mga Christians na may mga slaves din ayaw nilang mapalaya?
It's a very good question. Unang-una, it wasn't just Christians, to be fair, na nag-advocate ng abolition of slavery. There were non-Christians, but I think it is also fair to say that the moving force was Christian motivation. Whether actual Christians or not evangelical Christians, but the moving force in the dominant number of them would be the Christian belief, the Christian conviction ng creation, ng equality of men, at ito yung tinaka nag-move sa kanila. And also, as I've cited William Wilberforce, the most important people who were at the forefront ng anti-slavery movement would be Christians, with, of course, again, unbelievers included, but the moving force and the most potent movement would be from Christians. Now, were there Christians who defended slavery? Sadly, yes. During the Civil War, you have a representation from both. So imagine yung irony nito, North versus South, Union versus Confederate. Before a battle, they would pray to the Union forces will pray to God, the Confederate forces will pray to the same God in the name of the same Christ, and then they kill each other. That was the irony, but still, the right cause, of course, was on the side nung abolitionist, but let us not be judgmental of the defenders of slavery. At that time, dinatnana nila yung slavery. Kumbaga, yun na yung status quo ng society. At pakiramdam nila ay let us just defend or let us just maintain the status quo rather than disturb society as it existed then. So, yun ang kanilang motivation. And of course, many of them owned big plantations. They needed slaves. So there was an economic motivation. There was also the motivation in terms ng status quo na dapat panatilihin. And it was only recently, I think a few years ago, that the Southern Baptist Convention issued a formal apology for the position they took during the Civil War. Kasi during the Civil War, the Southern Baptists took the side ng Confederate. Na kumbaga for slavery sila, and now they saw the error of that, and a few years ago they issued a formal apology.
Related pa rin po ba sa slavery yung racial discrimination sa time nila Martin Luther King?
Related in the sense that it was a perpetuation of what it was like. Tandaan natin 1865 emancipation of slaves. Pero what substituted for emancipation ng slavery was segregation. So kumbaga, yes, equal kayo but separate. Hindi kayo pwede magsama. At in 1955, doon nangyari yung si Rosa Parks, ay pagod sa trabaho, sumakay ng bus, naupo siya dun sa dapat ay para sa mga puti. May sumakay na puti, pinaalis siya, nanindigan siya. Hindi pala nanindigan, naupo pa rin siya. Nakaupo pa rin. Kumbagay, hindi siya pumayag. And pinaaresto siya. And it was the beginning of the civil rights movement which was led by a young Baptist minister, Martin Luther King. This was in Montgomery, Alabama. At nag-spread throughout the United States until the culmination in 1963 in the march to Washington with the most stirring speech of Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream. So, doon na nagtuloy-tuloy. Pero marami pa yan. Martin Luther King was assassinated 1968. And then you have other highlight events. Yun lang pagpasok ng mga itim sa isang Arkansas University. First time na mangyayari, kinailangan silang eskorta ng mga soldiers dahil yung mga puti doon ay nag-threaten na sila, ay kuyugin. So, it was a struggle. Pero yung nangyari nga after emancipation was not complete equality but segregation. At yun ang pinaglaban ng mga katulad ni Martin Luther King. So, para sa atin ay dapat talaga complete equality of races. Hindi equal but separate. Kundi equal equal in society in every way. Sa Malaysia halimbawa, galing lang kami roon, ay makikita mo pa rin yan predominantly Malay but with a significant number of Chinese. But Chinese people will tell you na maraming laws ang against them. Meron pa rin ganyan na theoretically equal but segregated. At yun ang dapat na isang sensitibo tayong labanan pa rin. Tess, go ahead.
Kwento po ni Joe sa akin sa UK daw, Pastor, malakas pa rin yung bias sa mga hindi Asian, yung mga black pa rin, Pastor, hanggang ngayon.
Yes, yung bias, especially blacks, Hispanics, and hindi mo rin ma-blame sila in the sense when it comes to Muslims, merong takot because of what may happen because of its growing Islamic population in the United Kingdom. Ike.
Pastor, yung po bang bali yung comprehensive agrarian reform law, emancipation of the farmers, ito po ba ay equal ng emancipation of the slaves? I don't know if it's within this discussion po.
Siguro yung hindi ako biyasa, hindi ako dalubhasa sa usapin ng land reform or agrarian reform. But certainly, merong pinagkunan pa rin yan sa, remember sa yung Jubilee Year principle was to redistribute the land after a generation, pwede mangyari na sa kahirapan ng mga ilang magsasaka ay napilitan silang ipagbili yung kanilang lupa para sa mga mahigpit na pangangailangan. So isinaalang-alang ito sa Jubilee principle na yes, pwedeng mangyari iyan, pero after one generation, which means 50 years, ibalik ang lupa sa original owners. So sa aking palagay, ay yung mga kagayang ganyang prinsipyo ang pinagkunan din ng idea ng agrarian reform, although ang nangyayari nga dito sa ating CARP ay napapalusutan. Yung mapapalusutan kapag ikaw ay maging corporation, kagaya ng nangyari dyan sa Luisita, wala naman ako sinasabing karugtong ng kandidato, but may palusot nangyayari sa kalimitan sa ating uri ng agrarian reform. But there are those of you who are better, well-versed sa usapin yan. I'd appreciate your input. Jojo.
Pastor, kami galing din sa magsasaka. May paralelism po yun, yung parang emancipation na yun. Kasi pag yung magsasaka ka lang na nakikisaka, talaga yung landlord siyang talaga nagdi-dictate po nung hatian, ganyan. Kalimitan po kasi dun sa mga magsasaka, mga tenant, mga, kasi noon wala mga pinag-aralan, wala mga ano, talagang very dependent po sila doon. So pag nagigipit sila, doon din tumatakbo sa landlord, o hindi naman lahat ng landlord, mahigpit ano. So ang nangyayari, para nagiging slave nga po sila. So kontrolado, pati yung pagbili ng mga produkto, mga sinasaka, ani, yung pa rin landlord o yung na nagko-control, sila pa rin po. Kaya talagang naiipit sila ron. Kung tubo, kontrolado nung ano, parang ganun po. Ano. So, yung land reform po, talagang emancipation po yan. Siyempre, pag naibigay po sa magsasaka, sila na yung magkocontrol ng kanilang lupa, pati yung ano. Ang nangyayari lang po, yung pagbayad, mahirap po yung magbayad. Kasi babayaran ito ng gobyerno, and then, huhulugan po ito dahan-dahan ng mga magsasaka sa gobyerno na po, doon po babayaran. Ang problema po sa mga magsasaka, bagamat parang pinapalaya na para pong mangingisda, binigyan mo na ng bangka, lambat, yung nangyayari po, kung hindi sila sanay mag-manage talaga ng pera at ng lupa minsan, nababangkarote po sila, ibinibenta uli yun nila yung lupa nila, nagiging alipin din po sila. So, somehow, emancipation po talaga yung ganong bagay. Okay. Pero, ang problema siguro ng pastor, yung level ng tao masyadong mababa, kaya doon po sila talaga natatalo. Pero marami po nagtatagumpay na emancipate po.
Okay, so siguro, maaaring counterpart ng dating slavery ngayon ay mga farmers, tenants na umaasa, nakadepende sa kanilang landlord, especially absentee landlords. Ibig sabihin yung mga nakatira na dito sa Manila at basta pinasasaka na lang at silang nagdidikta pa rin. They're not really part of that land and yet they dictate matters of the land. So kaya nga, nagkaroon ng development yan, di ba, from land reform. It's now agrarian reform because you just cannot give land to the farmers without the agrarian support sa kanila. But even then, ay nahirapan pa rin yung iba, which means sa aking palagay, sa aking mababang uri ng opinion, ay edukasyon pa rin dito sa mga susunod ng henerasyon. I think yung henerasyong papalipas na, ay wala na tayo magagawa sa kanila except to relieve. Give them relief. But yung kasunod na henerasyon, yan yung pag-asa na bigyan sila ng edukasyon. Alam nyo, nangyari din yan nung emancipation of slaves. When slaves were emancipated, many of them made bad decisions in their lives and they were back to their masters. So, yung ganyang emancipation, nangyayari yan sa kasaysayan talaga na nararanasan yung talagang buong emancipation doon sa second generation. Not so much doon sa first generation. Kaya asa ang talagang dapat tutukan, education on the second generation of farmers and others who are of their condition. Teng.
Hello. Ayan. Yun lang parallelism na binanggit ni Kuya Jojo. If we will apply it in a grander scale, paano po yung bansa natin na malaki po ang pagkakautang sa mga lang malalaking bangko o malalaking bansa? Meron po kayang emancipation na maia-apply para sa atin?
Well, nakadepende tayo dun sa pinagkakautangan natin. When the United States needed Pakistan very much during their fight against terrorism, ang laki ng nirelieve nilang utang ng Pakistan. Pero yung Peru ay nasadlak sa lalong pagkadukha nung nag-try sila ng on their own ay huwag magbayad. So, nakadikta pa rin sa may control ng pananalapi. Well, siguro we can look at a larger scale in that sense, yung relationship ng nations. It's still the golden rule. He was the gold, has the rule. That's the golden rule ng human society. Jean.
Pastor, ang naisip ko na closest to yung slaves dito sa Amerika, baka yung mga house help na walang even, ano bang tawag doon, yung free day, yung hindi sila nabibigyan ng free day but they continue to work at on call, nandun sa bahay, 24 hours. Siguro baka sila lang yung parallel natin sa Philippine society kasi wala naman talaga tayong matatawag na slaves. Pero sila yung curtailed yung freedom, hindi sila nabibigyan ng structurally society, sila yung mababa yung wages. at talagang konti lang yung kanilang mga privileges, although may mga ginagawa naman ngayon na to give more privileges to them, making sure na may SSS sila, and then yung kanilang mga salaries medyo i-increase, but hindi ko makita na parang parehong-pareho rin talaga ng mga slaves that the Americans had. And then dun sa landlord, from a landlord's point of view, hindi naman po kami landed na malaki-malaki, pero actually kami nga yung ina-abuse ng mga farmers, eh. They don't give us money. Parang hindi din ko rin talagang makita na parang aping-api yung mga farmers natin. I'm sure in other parts of the country, but in our case, ang pansin namin sila talaga yung hindi nagre-respeto dun sa ownership ng landlord. Yeah. Yung ownership rights.
Yeah, thank you, Jean. Dun sa house helps, I think there's a parallel, although not equivalent. Tandaan natin yung slaves doon, walang sweldo ang mga yan. Walang mga rights ang mga yan, at naabuso sila, etc. So, but there is a parallel in the sense na pwedeng abusuhin ng gusto ang mga house helps na hindi kilalaan yung kanilang mga karapatan. Kaya tayo mga merong ganon, well, we had before, no longer. But the point is, siguruhin natin, tratuhin natin sila ng makatao, at that includes yung the way we pay them, the way we treat them, and the way we respect their humanity. Napakahalaga nun. Siguro, yung mga labis na pag-aabuso nangyayari sa Middle East dahil medyo slavish pa rin ang kanilang pananaw. In America, you can't do that anymore dahil pwede ka talagang i-prosecute. Di ba, merong case ng in-appoint sa cabinet na then natuklasan na hindi siya nagbigay ng SS para sa kanyang Filipino maid, tanggal na siya kaagad sa consideration. So, how strict America is ngayon sa bagay niyan, dapat ganun din tayo na kilalanin natin yung rights ng mga house helps natin. Now, on the other point ni Jean, I think it is also right na is a case of landlords being abused by their tenants. So, I have seen that happen na palibasa very lenient yung landlord at gusto niya maging makatao sa mga tenants. Ang ginagawa ng mga tenants ng daraya o hindi nagbabayad at hindi ginagawa yung kanilang obligasyon. So, it's both ways. Matatandaan natin, when the Bible was regulating slavery, I said regulating, not mandating, when nag-regulate ng slavery, may sinabi si Paul sa 1 Timothy 6:1, na kayong mga slaves, kapag ang inyong amo ay believers, huwag niyong abusuhin. The more you should serve them because they are believers. So, ang punto ay kung tayo yung sabi nating tenant o nasa kondisyon ng subordinate, huwag tayong mag-abuso ng superior natin sa punto na pareho lang kaming tao. That is not the right Christian attitude. So, it's a point well made. Any other thought? Jojo?
Sa pastor, sa usapin ng paggawa, titingnan po ninyo, parang ang pumapatak na slave ay yung mga nasa labor force, yung mga laborer o utility worker na minamanage po ng mga supervisor o sa management. Dito po pumapasok yung talagang exploitation talaga at pag-abuse. Marami pong mga experiences sa ganyan. At nakakaawa po yung mga maliliit na manggagawa. Dito po sa UP, mayroon ding mga ganyan. Kaya po nung na-expose ako sa ganyan, pumasok po ako sa union. Nakita ko talagang maraming dapat talagang ipaglaban na karapatan po ng manggagawa. At sabi ko nga, ang Kristiyano hindi dapat parang manahimik sa ganitong bagay. Kasi nakita ko yung mga laborer, yung mga labor force talagang isang dami-dami ng trabaho, kukunti yung sweldo. Minsan may mga overtime, di ba, nababayaran, mga ganon. Plus yung treatment ng mga superior. Nakakatuwa din po, dapat tayo magpasalamat, parang some sort of liberation yung tinatawag nating labor law, yung sa international labor law, na napuprotekta sa manggagawa. Pero minsan yung maliliit na manggagawa po, dahil kulang sa pinag-aaralan, mahina ang loob, hindi nila paglaban yung rights nila. Kaya kailangan nilang may boses. So yung union, hindi masasabi nating masama ito. Ito'y nagagamit para protektahan yung manggagawa ng rights ng manggagawa po.
Okay, so mayroong, again, correspondence, yung slaves noon at yung mga laborers ngayon. And again, I say just correspondence, not real parallel. Tanda natin, yung slaves noon, walang union of slaves. Wala silang karapatan ng anuman na mag-negotiate sa kanilang mga amo. No, nothing, no rights. Pag ikaw ay slaves noon, pero ngayon, pag-uusapan natin ang mga overtime pay. So unionism as such is a good thing. At sana talagang ang trabaho ng union ay para sa ikabubuti ng kanilang mga miyembrong manggagawa sa halip na just to destabilize. Pero isang correspondence, I gave you passages from Uncle Tom's cabin na pinutulak si Uncle Tom na maghiganti, revenge, and he refuses, and he is looking at it from the perspective of eternity. That's how I would look at it pagdating sa dapat ba ang Christian laborers ay mag-resort sa issues like strike, which in essence is hurt the business if you don't give what I want. To me, dyan ang aking challenge na I believe in unionism as such, but not a unionism which is there for destabilizing a business or a society. But may correspondence ang slavery and labors ngayon na dapat nating tingnan. Any other thought?
Yung pong pastor, nadagdag ko lang, yung pong unionism ngayon, kung titingnan natin, ang prinsipyo po nun ay yung responsible unionism. Hindi lang po isusulong yung welfare ng mga maliliit na manggagawa, kundi isusulong mo rin yung kapakanan ng management. So, dapat merong tinatawag na harmonious relationship para ma-attend po yung parehas na pangailangan ng dalawa. Kung production, i-meet mo yung production. Kung yung need ng manggagawa, i-meet din po ng management po yon. So naroroon po dapat yung harmonious relationship. Kaya nga po may proper venue yan, may proper forum para po i-negotiate talaga
That's the classic cause ng unionism. Ang hindi natin ma-deny is the fact that unions exist today with the hidden agenda of just destabilizing the management, labor, and society. And we have to be aware of that as Christians. Myla.
Gusto ko lang magkwento ng konti, Pastor. Nung nasa Nigeria kami, isang ministry na tinake up namin as a family is welcoming yung mga newcomers kasi medyo mahirap mag-adjust ng buhay doon. Talagang maraming nagagalit pag dumating kung anong klase ng buhay doon. So, yun ang ginagawa namin. And then one time, we were advised na may darating na German na lalaki married to a Colombian woman. May anak sila. So, excited kami kasi parang Nigerian community lang yung sa amin. So, we wanted to make it more international. So, excited kami. And then, nung ma-meet ko yung, nasa school ako ni Mikaya, na-meet ko yung German. So, he's the typical German, the tall guy, maputi. Tsaka, alam niyo naman yung picture ng mga typical German, ano. Pag-turn ko na ganyan, hinahanap ko yung family niya. Because, you know, when you say Colombian, alam niyo kung magaganda sila, mga slim, mga forma. Eh, iba yung nakita ko, the opposite, maliit na babae, medyo stocky ng konti, at saka ang dating talaga sa akin ay local siya, Nigerian yung dating. Although I really tried to smile and itago ko yung surprise ko, palagay ko hindi ako successful. And pag turn ko ulit ng konting angle pa, nakita ko yung anak, eh Nigerian din yung itsura. So, binati ko sila, welcoming them, talking to them, and after some days, yung babae, sinamahan ko sa isang trip, nagkwento siya without me asking. Siguro na pansin niya yung surprise ko or baka yun ang typical reaction. Kinuwento niya sa akin na sa Colombia nga, maraming parang mga slaves doon, ang mga Indian. Parang ini-import din. At ang sabi niya ay siya'y naging anak ng isang local, Colombian, at saka isang slave na Nigerian. Kasi ang kwento niya,
ayaw ng mga tao sa kanila ng Indian na slave kasi mahihina ang katawan. So ang mga Nigerian and African in general ay talagang kayang-kaya yung mga trabahong sinusukuan ng mga Indian na I thought ay malalakas din ang katawan. So sabi ko, naging in a way, naging curse sa mga African yung kanilang character na lakas ng katawan. And I was thinking then kung mga Pilipino siguro hindi rin pwedeng slaves kasi mali-reject ng mga amo dahil mahihina yung mga katawan natin. So parang lalo akong na-impress na gano'ng kalakas tong mga taong ito. Although nakikita ko na hindi kaya ng mga Indian yung kayang-kayang gawin ng mga Africans.
Well, that's a good insight. Well, una, tingnan natin yung sarili natin mga prejudice, di ba? We may not be aware of it until we meet someone of a different race, a different na itsura or class and something in us na we thought wala. Minsan na-stir up yung prejudice. So halimbawa yung anak mo, dalhin niya yung kanyang naging kasintahan ay mula sa lahing maitim or what, and what will be your reaction? So let's be aware, let's be conscious of our own prejudices. At kung nandoon yun, mortify it. There's no place for it. Because all men are equal. At ma-challenge siguro yung maring ngayon, theoretically, hinahawakan natin all men are equal until you meet someone not your equal in color or not your equal in other things and your prejudice will be stirred up. So we need to be aware of that and mortify that. And yung point na naging curse ng mga Africans yung kanilang lakas at dahil doon ay nakita sa kanila yung mabuting maging slave, likely. So hindi pa pwede mga Pilipinong maging slave. Baka yung amo ang pagbuhati natin. But anyway, may mga Kristiyano, alam nyo na ginamit pa ang ilang biblical passages like the mark of Cain or the curse on Ham, yung anak ni Noah, to suggest that yes, some people are made to be slaves and we have to reject that. Maliwanag sa scripture na rich and poor, we are all creatures of God. So when you meet someone not like yourself, that's when you will be most challenged to accept him as a fellow creature of God. Any last thoughts?
Anong curse ni doon sa tatlong anak, mayroon siyang sinumpa. Yung sinabi dito yung sa pagkaalipin, sa iyong kapatid ay paaalipin. Baka kakuyong ang kanon yun ang mga nagiging alipin.
Oh, yan po ang theory ng iba. First of all, ay hindi mapapatunayan na ang mga naging generation ni Ham ay yung mga Africans. Hindi mapapatunayan na itong si Ham ay itim at yung kanyang mga kapatid ay mga puti. There's just nothing to prove that. And at another point, ay hindi sinabi ni isang lahi ay magiging alipin sa iba pang mga lahi. Kundi ito'y curse dahil sa kasalanan ni Ham. Alam natin yung naging kasalanan ni Ham sa kanyang tatay na si Noah. So, nagkaroon ng consequence yung kanyang kasalanan, including yung kanyang mga anak. Dahil yan sa prinsipyo ng, I will visit your iniquity on the third and fourth generation. Pero hindi po ibig sabihin na yung buong lahi na ay mga alipin. Ang ibig lang sabihin, yung consequence ng kasalanan pwedeng umabot ng generational. Which is happening. Pero hindi ito pruweba na may lahi na talagang ginawa para maging alipin. Sige po.
Kanaan, yung kanan, yun ay ano rin. Pero nakita di Christ yung strong faith ng babae. So wala na nga siguro yun.
O, isang bagay ngayon na from that time on, nagka-cross yung ebanghelyo ay it's crossing races. At yung sinabi ni Paul Ephesians 2 na the wall of partition is broken down. Ang tinutukoy niya roon ay yung wall na nagseseparate sa court of the Jews and court of the Gentiles with Christ that's broken down so that there may in Christ be one new man. Yung one new man na yun, hindi po tayo yun na I am a new man. Yung one new man na yun means one new humanity. In Christ, there is no longer Jews or Gentiles in terms of racial differences, kundi pinag-isa na kay Kristo. Ang challenge talaga niyan pag may nakatagpok at nakilala na kakaiba sa iyo at tatanggapin mo yung kanyang buong pagkatao bilang nilalang ng Diyos. Last thought, Mikaya.
Konti pong insight kasi pati po ako noon ay iniisip ko slaves ay ang hardship nila ay limited to yung abuse ng owners. Tapos nung nag-aaral po ako ng history, tapos lalo na nung pumunta kami, nag-short trip kami sa Ghana at nag-visit kami ng mga castle persons, ay nakita ko po na simula pa lang doon ay nagsisimula na yung hardship nila. Pinapasok po kami nun sa slave person, yung parang holding cell nila. Ang tagal po namin bago makababa dahil yung floor ay napakadulas na kaya kailangan namin dahan-dahan. Pagdating po namin sa baba, para po siyang balon na siguro kasing taas nitong church. Tapos may maliit lang na butas para po siguro kagaya ng glass blocks natin dyan. Kung saan ay minsan may nakapwestong sundalo at pag may nagkakagulo sa ilalim ay pwedeng barilin anytime. Doon din hinahagisan ng pagkain. Hindi po sila lumalabas hanggang sa oras na itatransport na sila papuntang Europe. So, lahat po ng waste, kung may mamatay dyan, doon na lahat, sama-sama kayo. Tapos, may pinuntahan din kaming... pagkatapos po doon, papunta na sa dock bago sumakay ng ship papuntang Europe, there's a very small door. Although, of course, ngayon pinalaki na, pero noon ay maliit lang daw, just enough for you to crawl through. Doon daw sila dumadaan ang slaves at may plaka sa taas na the door of no return. After you pass there, ay hindi ka na talaga makakauwi dahil kinakalinga na nila yon at wala na talaga po nakakauwi.
Okay, thank you, Mikaya. So, yung hirap ng slave, yung umpisa ng slavery, ay doon pa lang sa pagkidnap sa kanya doon sa Africa, isipin mo, you will be uprooted from your family, from your community. There's a movie on that, di ba? Amistad, na pinakita very powerfully itong ginagawa sa mga African from their capture, captivity, at pagdating sa barko, ikaw pang taga sagwan doon, from start until you are sold, you are treated like an animal. So, it's not just that the master can be cruel. In fact, there were masters who were good. But it's the very structure ng slavery that was so dehumanizing and doon nag-rebel, nagkaroon ng revolt ang mga tao. And many of this, as I've said, is moved by a Christian conviction that you cannot treat human beings that way, like slaves. So, ano yung counterpart niya sa atin? Isipin natin and let us learn that no less than the Lord Jesus took the motif of servanthood, and that's slavery, as His role to serve others. So, let us fight slavery as a structure, but let us have a servant attitude when it comes to serving our fellow men. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa mga kaisipang natutuhan namin at awa ngayon panghawakan naming mahigpit ang katotohanan ng iyong paglilikha sa lahat ng sangkatauhan at dahil sa kami mga pare-pareho mong nilikha, mayroon kaming pagkakapantay-pantay at mula sa pagkakapantay-pantay na ito, walang dahilan na mang-api kami ng dahil sa lahi o ng anumang dahilang mga antas sa lipunan. Teach us, Lord, to overcome any prejudices that may remain in our hearts. And we know that those prejudices may exist and may be stirred when we have to meet people who are not like us. So grant that we would always bear in mind that when we deal with our fellow human beings, they are our fellow creatures. And help us, Father, to be inspired by what Harriet Beecher Stowe has done in being a mother, yet was able to exercise her gifts for the cause of her fellow human beings. We pray that you would be inspired by Samuel Davis, who, though occupied with a noble task, did not forget his civil responsibility. And may this Christian motivation truly be a power on our hearts when we have to deal with anyone who may correspond to slaves in the past, whether house helps or laborers, tenants, farmers. Grant, Lord, that we may treat our fellow human beings as our equals, because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. May we have a servant attitude towards our fellow men. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.